Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ, MFT, Resource Monitor, Basics, and Common Pitfalls. Moving on to slide number 2, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to WMQ MFT resource monitor topics. Next, our panel of experts will answer the questions that they provided. Then we will open the lines for live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call. First, we have Jason Simmons. Please go ahead, Jason.
Hello, folks. I am Jason Simmons, and I've been working as a MQ support engineer for the last 8 years, and specializing and focusing on WebSphere MQ managed file transfer for the past 4 years. That's it for me.
Thank you, Jason. Next, we have Pranav Mehta. Please go ahead, Pranav.
Thank you, David. Yeah, my name is Pranav Mehta, and I've been working with MQ Distributed Support and FTE since 2009. And I have gained experience in various products areas of MQ, including install, config, clients, and FTE, among the other aspects of WebSphere MQ. Previous to current position, I was working in natively monitoring, among the other roles within IBM. Thank you.
Thank you, Pranav. Next, we have Thomas Lean. Please go ahead, Thomas.
Hi. Yes, I'm Thomas Ling. I work in the WebSphere MQ FT and MFT Level 3 service team, and this is a role I've been in for just over a year now.
Thank you, Thomas. Next, we have Valerie Lampkin. Please go ahead, Valerie.
Hi, this is Valerie. I've been with IBM doing WebSphere MQ support for over 14 years. The last 4 years, I've been with the Level 2 support team, and that's my current position.
Thank you, Valerie. And finally, we have Yana Johnson. Please go ahead, Yana. Yana?
Oh, sorry. Hello, team. My name is Yana Johnson. I have been with MQ team since 2002, and support pretty much all areas of MQ, including FTE.
Thank you, Yana. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4. Please go ahead, Yana.
All right. So today we are going to be covering a number of questions that touch various topics, areas of configuration, usage, security, and troubleshooting. The platforms that we're going to cover in this session will be Unix and Windows machines. So let's move on to the next slide, slide number 5, and get started. So I'm going to give a brief overview of what the resource monitors actually are. The resource monitor is associated with a WebSphere MQ managed file transfer agent. It only runs when the agent is actually active. Once the agent stops, so does the resource monitor. It cannot run apart from the agent. If the agent is already running and you create your new resource monitor, it will start right away. Please note that the monitoring agent must also be the source agent of the task that is initiated by the monitor. Each monitor must have a unique name. The name must be at least one character in length and cannot contain characters such as a star, percent, or a question mark. So when you create your monitor, the name will always be converted to the uppercase. And you can always have as many monitors as you like. Now let's move on to resources. A resource monitor can pull the contents of the directories or the nested directory structures. By default, the specified directory is the one that is going to be monitored. To also examine the subdirectories, you can set the recursion level in the FTE create transfer command, and that will actually be the minus RL flag. The monitors in the WebSphereMQ managed file transfer can pull the contents of the queues as well. So back to the resources. We can pull the directories and the nested directory structures. By default, the specified directory will be monitored. So also examine subdirectories that the recursion level in the FTE create transfer command, and the slide actually has an error. It should be a minus RL flag. Monitors in the WebSphereMQ manage file transfer can pull the contents of the WebSphereMQ queue. You can specify only one monitor per queue. If you happen to have more than one per queue, you are very likely to encounter the unpredictable behavior, so this is something that we do not recommend to do. And lastly, currently, monitoring of data sets is not something that is supported. So at this time, let's move to the next slide, number 6, and we're going to talk about trigger and the trigger conditions. When the resource contains a value that matches some other string or a pattern, the trigger condition will be met. The condition can be one of the following. You can match on a file name, file name, file size, and match if the file size remains the same for a number of polls. For the file name matching, you can match on exact string match, a simple wildcard match, such as a star or a question mark, or a regular expression match. So let's move to the next slide, slide number 7. And we're moving on to tasks. File transfer tasks are defined in the same way as any other file transfer. A useful way to generate the file task XML required by the monitor is to run the ftcreateTransfer command with the GT parameter, and this is something we're going to show you in the examples in a bit. This command will generate a task definition as an XML document, including the transfer specification. You can then pass the name of the task XML document as the value for the MT parameter in the ftcreateMonitor command. And again, this is something that we will show you in a bit. When the ftcreateMonitor is run, it will read the task XML document. The one thing to note is that once you run the ftcreateMonitor command, any changes that you make to the XML file afterwards will not take effect. When using a file transfer task, you can select how many trigger conditions are batched into a task. The default is for one trigger condition to start one task. However, When you're running FT create monitor command, you can specify the S option to select the number of trigger conditions that are batched together into one task. So you can have more than one in a batch. So now let's move on to the next slide. And here's our first question. So how do we actually configure our basic resource monitor? And let's go to the next slide to have the answer. Slide number 9. Okay, so there are two things we can do here. We can monitor a file transfer, or we can monitor a queue. So let's start with a file transfer. Firstly, we will create a file transfer, and you can see the command here. And I would like to point out the DT flag that we just talked about. That flag will specify the path and the name of the task XML file that we're going to use. And then you use the FT create monitor command where you pass the transfer.xml file and be able to create a monitor. So the FT monitor command, of course, will be created on a source agent, which will have which we have in the command as the source.agent, and we're going to have name of our monitor as monitor 1 in this case. And then here's our MT flag. We're saying use this task XML, which is transfer XML. We're going to batch 5 trigger conditions per task, and we're going to match on the file, which is our minus PR flag, on any files with the .txt extension. Now let's move on to monitor a queue. Again, we're going to have a transfer in place. If you don't have one, you are going to have to create one. And again, would like to show that there is a GT flag still that will have the task XML file. And a couple of other flags, the SQ and SQGI. So the SQ flag just says that the source of a transfer is a queue, and SQGI flag states that the messages are grouped by the WebSphere in queue group ID. The first complete group will be written to the destination file. If this parameter is not specified, then all the messages in the source queue will be written to the destination file. So this is something to keep in mind. So we're going to trigger on complete groups. We're going to batch 50 trigger conditions per task, and we're going to pull in 5-minute intervals. So PI is pulling interval, and PU is the polling unit. Minutes is actually a default value, but you can also specify seconds, hours, or days. And as always, if you don't feel like typing all of this in, you can use the MQ Explorer to have all of that done, all of that configured. So let's go to the next slide, slide number 10. So you can also configure the monitor task to start a commands or scripts. So here is an example of the XML file and the entries that you would have to make to call a command or a script when a trigger condition is actually satisfied. In this case, we're calling a command run cleanup that XML, which will be kicked off, and I have highlighted the block where we actually call the command in blue so you can see that. Once the XML file was altered to include a call to execute the command, you will run the create monitor command to create and start a monitor with the altered XML file. In this particular case, the task will be kicked off on the source agent, source.agent, and we're specifying the key manager name. We're going to give our monitor a name as usual, and we're going to specify the MQ flag to point to where our task XML file is. Minus PI 30, we're going to be polling in 30-second intervals and matching on the files with a .go extension. And let's move on to the next slide, slide number 11. And this is the last slide for this question. I have included some links that you can find in the MQFDE file, in the MQFDE Info Center, sorry, and also the same information will be available in the MQ75 Info Center. And, you know, whenever you get a chance, you can go to those links and read more about the resource monitors. And let us know if you have any more questions on this. We'll be happy to help. And at this point, I am going to move on to question two, and Anna is going to take over.
Thank you, Anna. Okay, so we're going to discuss about on slide 12, question number two, how to customize resource monitor task with variable substitution. Okay, let's move to slide number 13, please. So what is variable substitution? When the resource monitor trigger condition is satisfied, a defined task started asynchronously. Further, now the task definition can be modified at runtime by inserting a variable names into the task definition XML. Yana just explained a little above. But when now conditions are met, if definition contains variable names, it substitutes the variable names with the variable values, and that's called, and then it calls the task. Okay, let's move to slide number 14, please. So variable names and format. So variable names must be preceded by a dollar sign and characters enclosed in a braces. For example, dollar open braces, dashed file name, close braces, or dollar file path. The monitor resource can be a queue or a file. If it's a queue, then agent name, message ID, etc. can be used as variables. If it's a file, then file path, file name, last modified date, etc. can be used as a variable. And full list of variables are available in our MQFDE Info Center. 7175 and 70. Let's move to slide number 15, please. So further in that, there is a call token and separators. Let's assume a file name called c:department-hr-payroll-november-2013.pdf. So further, we can manipulate it, those part of the file via positive or negative token. So the first one is a file path, so it just takes the entire variable. The next one is a file token, the positive one, and separator is a dot, so whatever is before PDF. The next one is a token number two, separator is dot. It takes everything after, so it's dot PDF. And file path, if it's token equal to negative two, and separator is forward slash, it takes the payroll. So these are all the variables it would, you know, substitute during the XML. Let's move to slide number 16, please. So here, as Rihanna showed earlier, similar file, XML file. But when it goes to source agents, now we have a, you know, dollar sign agent name, queue manager, user ID, all that stuff. And here in showed in the red is a destination agent. And again, the similar example as previous slide, file path, token equal to negative two. And when eventually, It runs the XML being transferred into showed in the screen, and destination agent becomes payroll, and the file transfer happens over. In any case, if the task fails, it gives a return code 103, and the error message is BFGDM0060E. Again, all of this information found in the information center. Let's go to slide number 17, please. Little more facts about the variable substitution. Variable names are not case sensitive. Backslash characters in file paths are replaced with a forward slash in the message XML regardless of operating system. The values substituted into an agent name into the message XML are treated in the non-case sensitive way. Okay, let's go to slide number 18, please. I'm going to hand it over to Valerie. Go ahead, Valerie.
Hi, thanks. Okay, for question number 3, talk about what user ID authorization is required for managed file transfer clients and resource monitors. So let's go to slide 19, please. When starting the FTE agents, you should not be using the MQM or root user ID. Instead, you should consider configuring security groups for administering MQFTE. We recommend that you have the groups FTE agent and FTE user defined on your server, and I've provided a link here where we give some examples of how to do this. Some customers wish to have a more complex business group, such as payroll, finance, or inventory, and then they can have place the IDs that they need to access the file in the appropriate group. This gives them a little bit more granularity. But basically, the FTE client should not be running as root as well, because if so, then the transfer file will have root ownership, and it prohibits other IDs from accessing the file once it's been transferred. The FTE service account should contain the end-user or application service account, and this gives the end-user the ability to read and delete the files that the FTE agent creates. Just a few reminders, IDs should be less than 12 characters. They need to be members of the necessary group to have access to the directories where the files exist. And that's the question. We'll go on to the next slide, 20. And slide 20, I think question 4 is Jason.
Yep. Thank you, Valerie. So question number 4, what to do if matching resources are available for a defined file resource monitor, but the files never get moved to the destination agent and transfers end up in a resynchronizing state? Well, what this means, and please let's go to slide 21, what this means is that the source agent is in fact recovering from a failure. This can happen, and trace can reveal that this means that the initial transfer negotiation has timed out, waiting to hear back from the destination agent. This can be prevented by increasing the max transfer negotiation time from the default of 30 seconds to 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a recommendation, but it's a best practice to set that to 5 minutes if you're having this type of issue. And this gets set in the agent.properties file for the agent that is associated with the resource monitor. Okay, moving on to question number 5 on slide number 22. What to do if destination files transferred by a queue resource monitor contain the wrong data? Slide number 23, please. Wrong data can occur when message to file transfers fail. If messages are left behind and new messages get queued, the MQMD from the new message group is used, but the older messages are also included in the resulting file. And that's why you can the possibility of getting wrong data or data that you don't expect in your resulting files can occur. This can be avoided by using a various number of flags and options. The first one is to use the -SQGI flag when you create your resource monitor. Second, altering the XML transfer task that's included to include the queue tag argument group ID equals quotation mark dollar sign open bracket group ID close bracket close quotation mark. Third, creating the resource monitor with the minus TR complete groups flag. And slide number 24 gives you exactly examples of commands to achieve this. And I apologize, I was mistaken on my first point on how to correct this. You need to use the minus SQGI flag when you create the transfer, not the monitor. And that's it for question number 5.
I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering your pre-submitted questions. At this time, we would like to open the lines for live question and answer period.
The first question is coming from Ralph Jones of Southwest Airlines. Your line is open.
Hi. I have a question about managing agents. From time to time, I try to, when I go to shut down an agent, I notice that it's in an active state. And when I look in the Explorer, it seems to have, like, it states that it may have, like, 9 destination transfers in progress. But from what I can tell, all of our transfers have been completed and everything have been completed. So I'm really not sure what is kind of going on with the system at that point. From what I can tell, there are no transfers in progress.
Well, hi, this is Jason Simmons. If I understand you correctly, you're saying that you try to stop or shut down an agent, and multiple this agent shows in the Explorer that there are active transfers.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to maybe say that the MQ Explorer oftentimes lags behind what's really occurring with the agent. So if you've given it a good time to maybe catch up, and you still see that same status, then you might want to go ahead and use some of the commands that we have on a console to verify those. And I believe one of them is FTE show agent details will give you a listing of all the transfers that may or may not be active and their current state.
Okay.
If the agent is truly shut down, though, of course, that command wouldn't provide much of anything other than to tell you that it's not running. Though when you shut down the agent and you don't use the minus I flag for an immediate shutdown, current transfers that are in flight are still going to progress until completion. If you do truly need for an agent to shut down without regard to, you know, in-flight transfers, you can use the minus I flag with the FTE stop agent command.
Okay. This may be more of a problem issue than in this case, because from what I can gather, there are no transfers in progress. But it seems to be that there's always an indication that there are. So I could take this offline and go to a different resource. Thank you.
The only thing I would also maybe recommend is to go into the agent's configuration folder and look to see if there's a process ID file, which would give you the process for the Java runtime that's actually running the agent. See if that still is active on the system.
Okay.
And that might give you an indication whether this agent really has terminated or shut down. And it could just be that the pub/sub engine is just catching up with giving you the information, you know, via the MQ Explorer.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is coming from Deepak Varma, Blue Cross of South Carolina. Your line is open.
Hi, I have a question about monitoring a queue, and the queue which we are trying to monitor doesn't, basically, it's not one of the coordination queue manager or command queue manager. So the queue manager is outside, it's like an independent queue manager. How do you monitor that queue on that queue manager? Where do you define your MQFT agent?
Hi, this is Thomas Lean from FT Level 3. And if I understand you correctly, your question is asking how do you create a resource monitor that monitors a queue outside of your FTE topology. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Sure. Okay, so an agent, you can only create a resource monitor on an agent that monitors a local queue to the agent's queue manager. So it can't monitor a queue that's on another queue manager that's not its agent's queue manager.
So
does that make sense?
So you're saying in order to monitor a queue, that the queue has to be defined in one of those queue managers, and not like there's no way to link an outside queue manager to the MQFT topology.
No, the queue being monitored must be defined on the agent's queue manager.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Jason Simmons again to follow up on what Thomas has just said. You might have the possibility to, on this remote queue manager, where you expect messages to flow to, you could set up what we call a remote queue definition, an XMIT queue, and sender channels and receiver channels between the two queue managers. So you could push those messages to the queue manager that's actually the agent queue manager.
Does that mean we have to define that many remote queues on the MQFT queue manager? Let's say if you're trying to monitor 5 queues, so we have to define like 5 remote queues on the MQFT queue manager in order for this to work?
Well, I mean, it just depends. I mean, a lot of it's how exactly you want to, you know, what your needs are. All I'm saying is, If you had in mind to monitor a queue that's remote to your agent queue manager,
okay,
then you might want to set up what we call a distributed queuing, so a remote queue definition on the remote queue manager that would, in fact, transfer those messages to a queue on the agent queue manager.
Okay.
And that way, the monitor is going to be then monitoring a local queue on the agent queue manager, if that helps.
Okay, yeah, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome.
At this time, we have no further questions.
Thank you. We do have a few questions in the group chat. And the first one is, in MQ Explorer plugin, there is a stop-start status for a monitor. In the document, there is nothing about stopping a monitor. Is this something that will come at a later time?
Okay, yeah, oh, sorry. I think that was one on the chat that I had answered. This is Jason Simmons again. And I did say that that the monitor can only be started and stopped with the associated MFT agent, or the managed file transfer agent. It's actually a thread that runs within the agent process itself. So at this point, there's no other way to cause it to stop, and at least that I knew, without stopping the agent itself. I think, believe my colleague Valerie had recommended maybe submitting an RFE on that, a request for enhancement.
Okay, thank you. And the next question in the group chat, do we need to have queue manager also to establish FTE?
Hi, this is Tom again from FTE Level 3. So the question is, do we need a queue manager to use FTE? And the answer to that is yes. FTE and MFT is built upon the WMQ infrastructure, so you need at least one queue manager, and that queue manager would have to play the role of the coordination queue manager, the command queue manager, and the agent queue managers if you were to only have one queue manager in your FTE topology.
Thank you. And then there's another question. If we have to call multiple commands in the same monitor, is there any way to achieve that functionality?
So the file transfer request schema only allows you to call one external program, whether that be an ANT script, an executable program, or a JCL script as a part of a single managed call. However, if you invoke an ANT script as part of that call, then that ANT script can itself submit other calls to the agent and also kick off transfers. So you could probably use one ANT script, for example, that then does all the other work that you need it to do.
Okay, thank you. And then another question just came in the group chat. We are having issues with transfers backing up normally due to file locking on IS systems. Other than increasing the source and destination settings and canceling with ANT, is this something known and can be fixed?
Well, yeah, this is Jason Simmons. This is something that commonly occurs, and we have, and forgive me if I get the exact syntax of the parameter incorrect, but there's an agent property called max monitored resources in poll, and basically that property can be set to limit the number of matching resources that a resource monitor would consider during each poll interval. And so what can typically happen if you know you're having a very busy resource monitor and many, many matches, if those matches do not get moved via the file transfers before a new poll interval occurs, then what can happen is the resource monitor has to again consider those as matches. And so you can get into a situation where the monitor is continually queuing up and piling up matches that it has to trigger for. So what we recommend is setting that to something reasonable, so that only, let's say, 100, 200, or what have you, within a reasonable amount of poll interval would be considered as a match and sent over via a transfer. What happens the next polling interval, the resource monitor will then consider the next 100, 200 matches.
Thank you. And then another question in the group chat. What's the maximum size of file that FTE can transfer?
Yeah, unless anybody else wants to take it, this is Jason Simmons again. There really is no maximum size. As you know, for FTE is concerned, what happens is, however large your file is, it's going to be broken down into chunks and sent in a size that will be able to pass through the defaults of the MQ infrastructure. So messages that are smaller than 4 megabytes in size, which is the default in our queuing system.
Okay, thank you.
We have one question in queue. Ralph Jones of Southwest Airlines, your line is open.
Question is concerning how to monitor the agents for availability, probably the best way to do that. And also, if there are any recommendations on how to use set up the agents and the monitors in a high availability type system.
Hi, this is Tom again. Sorry, can you repeat the first part of your question?
The best way to monitor the agents for availability, whether they're up or down or not, the best way to do that. I'm thinking perhaps maybe you have to monitor the connections to a particular queue or something like that, or maybe the process. Do you have any recommended ways to do that?
Sure. So you can monitor the agent status using tools such as the WMQ Explorer. The agent, by default, will publish its status, I think, every 5 minutes to say...
Oh, okay, I need something that's more dynamic as opposed to having somebody looking at the screen. I need to...
Sure. Well, the status messages that are published by the agent are published to topics on the... of a system FTE topic on the coordination queue manager. So you could write a small application that creates a subscription to the system FTE topic to listen out for the agent status public, the messages published by the agent concerning its status. So that's one option for you.
Okay.
And also, if I may add, you can also always do other tools such as TULI monitoring, where you can configure the agents and they would monitor and alert you, you know, if needed.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
And to the last part of the question concerning high availability, I think there's a DeveloperWorks article out and about on the net that describes setting up FTE. I think this one's the example given is for Windows high availability systems. I'll see if I can dig out the link to that and paste it into the group chat for you.
We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
I'd like to thank you for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this time, I would like to advance to slide 27 and pass the presentation over to Jason for a summary of today's presentation.
Yep, Jason Simmons here again. Today we've covered a lot of ground here, and specifically we covered what the WMQ MFT resource monitor is, how to configure it, security concerns, how to use it effectively, and touching on a few pain points with resolution steps. I'd just like to thank all that have joined and for your questions today.
Thank you, Jason, for the great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced through support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and a sincere thank you to our panel of experts for presenting today.